This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Hey, Ali.
What up, D?
Hey, man, have you ever had problems going to sleep?
Nah, but sometimes I have problems staying asleep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I used to have the same problem, but then I found out about Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
Yes, sir. Sweet Dreams is the highest quality Colorado CBD blended with the power of melatonin.
Damn, that's dope.
Now I'm knocked out at night and I got crazy energy in the morning.
Yeah, where can I get that, D?
You need to go to www.naturalrxsource.com. That's www.naturalrxsource.com. Put in the code SLEEP10 for 10% off your first order.
Bet. I'm going to go there right now.
Well, go to sleep and stay asleep. Sweet dreams.
Time for the End of Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
Ooh. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good.
It's been a minute, at least 7 days since I chopped it up with you.
Six and some change.
Something like
at
that.
This point.
Okay. What's cracking, man? How you doing?
Everything good, man. You know, out here living life, remixing life and shit. You know, it's one of them times.
Where, yeah.
You know, it's time to go to the next level again.
Again?
Again.
I hear that.
You know, well, it's just like when you out here in the wild,
mm-hmm.
you know, the game changed real fast and you got to be able to respond to it.
Right.
Know? So it's in one of them responsive, like, okay, I see what's happening on the horizon. This is what I need to do to get in place.
It's a proactive jump on them.
Yeah, you got to be proactive or you're going to be out the game.
So you see something switching up and you
ready? I definitely see lots of things switching up
uh-huh.
and lots of places where, you know, sometimes you outgrow a space.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's a space you don't want to be no more. You want to, mm-hmm. you don't want to do certain things. And I think I'm in that space.
All right.
You know. Well, it's just more the service side of what we do. You know what
uh-huh.
I'm saying? Just try to slowly drop that down a little bit and do more project-based, what we want to do type things.
A little bit more creative on your own.
A little more creative, a little more on your own as opposed to what, you know, you find yourself doing a lot of work and all your work is somebody else's work.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, all these deaths and shit is like how you rethinking your shit. Like, hey, man, if I die today, all I did was everybody else's shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't want your obituary to be like, he did everybody else's shit.
Everybody, he was good at fucking assists.
You know what I'm saying?
Throwing alley-oops. Ah.
So, you know, it's one of those types of situations where it's like, you know, when you gonna get to your shit real hard and make your shit the top priority and not just the side priority or, you know, a 50% priority.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm in that space right now.
I hear that. I can see that.
Which is, you know, that's a lonely space. Because really, when you're talking about something that don't exist, it ain't nobody to really talk to about it.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can listen.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you need feedback and sometimes that mirror be the feedback. Trial and error, doing it,
uh-huh.
seeing if it worked, you know, testing and shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at, man. It feel good, though. I like that. I like
good.
That process.
Yeah. And in the unknown part of the journey, we got to just trust that process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you out there in the dark and making assumptions based off of, you know, the information that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and you see where things going. And then you start seeing other people eating your lunch where you used to get lunch.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then you like, oh, hey, wait, whoa, hold up. Nah. But then it's that lunch you ain't even want. I ain't even want no turkey sandwich. But you mad.
But just off of GP.
GP.
Come
you
on.
Eat turkey sandwiches out here?
I ain't even never seen you eat turkey
you know
sandwiches.
I'm the first one puts turkey sandwiches on the map.
Y'all niggas was eating spice
you
ham.
You know what I'm saying? Get out of here.
Wow.
But, you know, it's one of those things. You have to let go where you came from to get where you're going.
All right. I hear that shit.
So that's where I'm at with it.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
You know, it's the remix.
There you go.
But I got a good plan. I feel good.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? you know, I'm getting good response.
Okay.
So, you know, that's it.
That's what's up.
That's what I've been up to.
Well, that's what.
I ain't been nowhere. I've been doing that shit. That's just
been, I hear you. All right. No further questions.
No, I mean, you can ask many questions. I just don't have no further answers.
I can dig
other
it.
Than, you know what I'm saying?
You said all these
in the lab
deaths.
Yeah, man.
What? Who else? What deaths? Are we talking? What you talking about?
I mean, shit. My mom died in March.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nipsey died at the end of March.
Right.
John Singleton died yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All those fall in my realm some kind of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And in little ways, but then in some ways, big ways. Like, you know, John Singleton was a storyteller.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? He made black shit.
Rest in
you
peace.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the, you know, the blackest of things that at the highest of levels, you know?
Yeah.
So he's definitely in my sphere. So,
yeah.
You know, you look at what he's done in his 51 years, which, you know, I thought he would have been a little older than that, but he did Boys in the Hood. He was 23, some shit
like that.
Isn't
that crazy?
You know what I'm saying?
That was his first ever movie.
Right.
Nominated for an Oscar.
You know, so.
Still the youngest director ever nominated for an Oscar. Still, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
But go ahead.
They said that, you know, they offered him $100,000 to walk away from the project because they wanted a more experienced director.
Oh.
And he was like, this is the movie I was born to make.
He did that shit. Yeah, he did it.
But then the link, you know what I'm saying, with him being from Crenshaw.
Nipsey.
You know what I'm saying? Nipsey being from Crenshaw. Him the one actually doing the Crenshaw shirt in Boys in the Hood.
Oh, is that where that's from?
Yeah.
Oh, I never caught that.
I didn't either until I saw this video of him in the Marathon store telling the story of how he put Trey in the Crenshaw shirt because the dude at the flea market used to sell him.
Oh, wow.
And then he was like, I'm going to put that in the movie. So he was like, in the last scene with Trey and Doughboy on the porch,
right?
You'll see Trey with a Crenshaw shirt on.
Same font.
No, it's like the block font. They had it in the store too, but it's not the one with the sport font.
Right.
It's the one with the block font. Just say Crenshaw on the black shirt. And so just that link and just that both of them gone within a month of each other is crazy.
Yeah. It's so much. That's a lot too. I didn't know about the Crenshaw thing. That's kind of, that's profound on the level that there's a lot of entrepreneurship that's supported in that Crenshaw district for the fact that, what's that, 30 years ago for Singleton to say, yo, I'm going to support this cat. I'm going to put his shirt in my movie.
Right.
And then you see with Nipsey with the Crenshaw shirts like that.
The next generation.
That's really cool.
But, you know what I'm saying? And in that movie, he had, you know, the Furious style, talking about gentrification.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see that on the Instagram. I haven't watched that clip over again, but yeah.
It's just a lot of, you know, conversations that they were having in the 90s that's extremely relevant right here today, you know? And being that was a source of inspiration in that whole neighborhood. Even like now with John Singleton saying he the only casting office in Crenshaw district. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So for him to be the one to kind of put South Central on the map, because you had Cube, who was still, he made his first album. That was the first time you started hearing South Central. But for the longest, you had known him from straight out of Compton.
Right.
He was talking Compton, even though he wasn't from Compton.
Right.
So when he did his first album, then you started hearing him say South Central.
Right.
So when Boys in the Hood came, it was the first time you actually got a visual that was more comprehensive than just the raps and the gangs. And you know what I'm saying? It was, you could actually kind of see some of the culture and the different kinds of people that existed in South Central.
Singleton, I want to say, maybe outside of NWA, outside of the movie Colors, which was, you know, wasn't as impactful, but Singleton was like that's the first time I really seen black LA. You know what I mean? Right. Like where you felt the world. You know what I mean? When you look at Boys in the Hood, Boys in the Hood remind me of like when you watch Do the Right Thing, you could feel the humidity. You know what I mean? Like when you watch Boys in the Hood, you could feel how hazy it is. Like you feel like you there, you in their neighborhood. They show you so many different slices of life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether it's just them on the porch kicking it or like when they on, I guess they was all Crenshaw or Slauson where they was doing, when they had the whole the nighttime, all of the cars pulling up and shit.
Right.
Man, you know, and then beyond that, like Baby Boy, you know, up until Snowfall. You know, like
that was the thing. It's like, damn, he's still working on Snowfall. Like,
yeah, I felt conflicted feeling that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Because God, I don't want to, you know,
I don't want the texture and the reality to fall off. Cause, yeah, you know, the visionary's not there. Hopefully, they got, you know, layers.
I hope so, man. He come across like a dude that would leave some marching orders, or at least his vision is so singular, like Spike, that if you work with him, I think you kind of, you'll know at least what to do. You'll know at least what not to do. But you'd like, be like, well, I wouldn't have done no shit like this.
But in the case of Snowfall, it's so specific to you having to have been there. It's like you can't go on the internet and search up the 80s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The shit that was really going on in the 80s. There was no cell phone footage. And,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You might get some wiretaps from, you know what I'm saying, some court cases and shit, but
yeah,
you almost had to be there.
Right. I would hope he got some
people. You know what I mean, to really get that texture of how it was in the 80s.
Yeah, we're going to see.
And they so far, they have been doing a good job.
They've been killing it. Shit was great.
Mm. So, you know.
Yeah, man, rest in peace, John Singleton.
No doubt.
I feel you on that. I definitely took this weekend to try to write. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sit down and try to write. To your point about that Singleton death hit me. Like, it was like, damn. You know, like, I just got the news he had the stroke on Friday.
Right.
So that was like, damn.
You know, it was kind of like, you know, everybody beat the stroke. No, not everybody. Not always. Not always, but that's just your thought. That was my thought process. Like, okay, he'll be back. You know what I'm saying? He might have a limp arm or some shit like that, but he'll be back.
Yeah, I'm a hypochondriac, first of all. So when I almost dropped my phone because I'd be so, I had to go put my arm in the cuff today, the right age just to see where I'm healthy. At. Gotta make sure, because I ate some bullshit this weekend too, we'll talk more about that. But like this week I was like, yo, I'm trying to, you know, just sit down and write, like just sit down undistracted. Leave the crib, go somewhere 2-3 hours and just stare at the page or stare at the screen. Mm-hmm. And hopefully whatever come, you know, and some of the shit is coming in spurts or whatever. But it's like, to the point of what you were saying, with these deaths going on, you see somebody like Singleton who put out so many different projects and now he's gone. So that's the end of his output, right? And, you know, if you alive, if you're a living creative, that's part of, I won't say your responsibility, but that's part of the luxury of being alive. It's like, yo, you gotta shoot. If you in the game, nigga, shoot your shot. Whether go in or go out, shoot the shot. You know what I'm saying? Don't overthink it. Cause it don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, man. So, yeah, man. Shout out to John Singleton. That was a tough one, man. You know. Peace to all the creatives out there, too. You know, doing their thing. Shout out to my man DL Warfield.
I saw he just had a show.
He did another show. He had a show, Fame. I think 1 million likes.
Yeah, 1 million likes.
He did like an ill sculpture with Fame spelt out with all cameras. Right. And if you stand in front of it, it takes your photo, lights and shit. So that's ill. And I think this is his third show in the last couple months. He out there going hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Prices was going hard too.
So, oh yeah.
I mean, I think that piece right there, that Fame piece you was talking about, he had it up for $55,000.
Ooh-wee, get it.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, but, you know, it's art. You know, but it's shooting the shot.
And you got to. Is,
you know what I mean? But it's like, that's the business of art. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody always thinks starving artists, but nah, every artist.
Where that shit come from?
I don't know.
Where did that shit? Because the shit is pervasive.
Right,
people feel like it's nobility in being a starving artist.
Nah, but because, you know, when you're doing art, it takes time to maneuver through the system to get to the point where people are seeing the value and paying the value mm-hmm. of the, you know, the suffrage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it takes a minute to get to that point where people are actually paying good money for your art.
Yeah.
But that ain't no reason why you shouldn't try to charge it.
Yeah.
What is value.
Mm-hmm.
So, but everybody might not have the same value system on their work.
That's true.
And that's where shit come in. You fine-tune your value system.
They say it's only worth what people are willing to pay. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's and sometimes it's all subjective.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's how you position and how you maneuvering and how you making people look at it.
Right.
Can define what the value of it is. You
Absolutely.
Know?
So, yeah, if you come through strong about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't come through meek with a high price.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's reluctant, it's, expensive ass. That shit is too confusing.
Reluctant and expensive don't go together.
You got to be like,
it's like Nipsey with the $100 mixtape.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Proud to pay.
Right. What's up?
Yeah, man.
It's position.
Yeah. But, yeah, I went to actually went to a art gallery on Friday because it's freeze going on, I think. It's mm-hmm. the, you know? So there's a bunch of little like shows going on, and I was running around with young Dub P in the building.
Oh, he's in town.
He's in town. So we went to the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He know the circuit, the art
right,
circuit.
Right.
This shit is in the cut. Like, if you didn't know there was a, like, you got to go upstairs in this little building on top of a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a fine art fucking show going on, who would have known? I like that. It's kind of cool, like, just these subcultures. You know, that shit is invisible until you know. You know what I mean? Like, that's one thing I respect about comedy. I see it, like, as, you know, before I started doing comedy, you didn't realize damn near anywhere could be the venue for a comedy show.
Right.
You know, just this little coffee shop which you just know and go get your coffee and have a little croissant or whatever, maybe write a little bit on Wednesday. This shit is packed to the gills
right.
with the next motherfuckers of comedy. You know what I mean? But right. you wouldn't know that type of shit because you're not plugged in. So it's always, you know, it's kind of cool. It's the more that meets the eye on some Transformers shit.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Oh man.
No doubt. So what'd you see at the freeze?
I saw some sculpture art. think the artist Jesse Reyes, I wanna say. Some sculpture art. It was fly shit. I didn't understand it all. Mm-hmm. But I respected it. You know right. what I mean? I didn't understand it. I respected it. I tell you what thing. I took photos of the shit, right? And not because I took photos of it, just to, you know, to document shit.
Right.
And then when I was looking back at the photos, I was like, oh, these shits photograph well. And mm-hmm. that's also part of the shit, because some of the shit, like when you look at it, you see it one way, but then we take the photo, it was like, you realize so many different things were considered, the way they sat it in the light. So mm-hmm. when you shot it, this popped out. Like it was a lot of deliberate shit that you may not have been able to catch immediately. So I respected right. that. The other two places we went to, they were still kind of getting their shit together. They were still getting ready for the show. Mm-hmm. So stuff was on the floor or whatever. Wasn't really posted up. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's always good to, you know, check out some art, you know, just to see what people put out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it, to your point, it's subjective. So one person might be like, oh, that's the illest shit ever. Another person be like, I don't get it. But it's a legitimate entry.
No doubt.
So.
And then Fahamu Peko got a show that just came out.
Is that the cat that used to do the covers?
Yeah, of himself.
On other magazines and shit.
So mm-hmm. he got a show, Do or Die, that's moving around.
Okay.
I just saw some, I think it's in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
I think it's hit Philly. Coming up shortly,
uh-huh.
But I saw some pictures of that. His shit is looking real dope. His shit is always dope, real detailed, black people always.
Uh-huh.
But in some of these images, like just rich other colors that's running through the mm-hmm. backgrounds and shit like that. So I just saw pictures of it today.
Mm.
So I'm probably check it out when it hit Philly.
Oh, that's hard.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's not coming to New York?
I think it may have already been in New York.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. But like I said, I just saw it on the gram this weekend. Like, oh, shit. And only because when I was down there, I was talking to a girl that's kind of in his little management team.
Right.
That was saying it was coming to Philly next.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Ash Nash.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so.
The Grimm really helping artists out. It puts it way back in the
conversation. I mean, yeah. Visual than the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And it was shout out to Goldie Gold, too, because a lot of the cast who was going to the DL show, you know what I'm saying, and even the Fahamu show was rocking his shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Which one?
He had a whole line of shirts called Invest in Gold.
Okay.
So he just does his art on the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So he has, you know, a lot of different ones, but I think the ones they was at DL show, a lot of them was rocking the Nipsey one that he did. Cool. So he got a certain style, certain colors.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like a animated look.
Mm-hmm.
Illustrated look.
Right.
And I've been rocking with Goldie Gold since MySpace. So he's done a couple of pieces of me. So like if you ever looked on on my Twitter profile, had the little colorful joint.
Right.
That was a Goldie Gold's piece like that. So that's how they look.
Yeah.
And a lot of cats was supporting him at the other show. So it's kind of like a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a nod to the artists who doing it at one level, but then also a shout out to the artists that's on the bubble.
Right. Right.
So that community is looking real good as far as, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, moving on the gram and making sure that the art scene support each other. That's it's a big deal right now.
Right. I like that you see people actually buying the shit. You see that's being reported. This person bought that shit for you know what I mean? It wasn't like just looked at it. This shit is selling.
But that's what it is.
It's beauty.
That's what it is, man. You know, if you ain't had no consumers, then it ain't no work.
Mm.
You know? I was looking at a note. I had one of my notebooks. It was like, you know, rich people don't make jobs. Consumers make jobs.
Mm.
So it's like when people buying, that's when the market is right. That's when you could actually create livings and make livings and, you know what I'm saying, give people jobs was when people buying.
Mm-hmm.
If people ain't buying, it ain't shit to do.
Yeah, sometimes though. I mean, yeah, I agree. You got to get the people to buy. But then sometimes on the creative side, it's the job to come up with a story as to why to buy. You know what I mean?
Right.
'Cause like, you know, like I'm noticing a lot of this shit, a lot of stuff that's out there to be consumed is really based on the story behind it.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Like the end product is the end product. Again, it is what it is. But it's like when you hit the people with the ill story that they attach to, that shit just moves around. And then people, like, you know what I mean? Now it's like, oh, nah, I had to cop this because this was what's going on with that, and that's actually a pull of this, and da-da-da-da.
But that ain't really nothing new.
No, it ain't nothing.
That's how it's always been. You know what I'm saying? It's always a story, whether you fit in that narrative or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how Apple made its way into the creative space. You know, they always told the stories of the people who made shit and created shit. While when PCs was on top and they was running the game, IBMs and shit like that, it was more about the working man and the numbers person and the person who had it all pulled together, suit and personal computer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Making business move faster. That was their story.
Mm-hmm.
When Apple was coming with a more story of the creative person and the person who didn't necessarily follow the rules, and that started to feel like a gang. You know what I'm saying? It was a small gang in comparison to, you know what I'm saying? This is what the career man's computer.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you saw that. I was, as a kid, to able to watch that audience grow based off of that narrative was crazy.
Right.
And then now in this space where that narrative is kind of running the conversation.
Yeah. Is it now the majority? It is?
Yeah.
By far now? Because I remember back a couple, like maybe what, 15 years ago, they were still like, it's only X amount. And you've seen it happening.
The phones took it over to, you know,
that's when it changed.
iPods, the first iMacs when they had the colors and shit, that shit started to get cool.
Right.
Then motherfucking iPod and iTunes tipped it over a little bit, and then that's when it started to grow like that.
Right.
But that narrative, like with the artists being able to tell their stories like that, that's part of that narrative. That's part of that whole situation. Because the career man narrative was the story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You wanted to be a part of that.
You wanted to have a briefcase.
You know what I'm saying? Briefcase.
Remember, the briefcase was the shit. You know the briefcase was the official MacBook Pro.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why, yeah, nigga, that was the one. You know, man. Yeah, the briefcase was the shit, especially in the 80s. That meant you had some shit to do. You had some purpose.
That was part of the narrative.
You had some documents.
It consumed. You went and consumed that shit because you wanted to be a part of that story.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? You wanted to be looked at as somebody who had their shit together.
Yeah. Fucking briefcase with nothing in it. I think I had a briefcase at one time going on interviews with a briefcase. I have shit. I had a manila folder with my resume in that bitch. That shit was smacking around in the fucking briefcase.
Just like everybody with these MacBooks.
Tell me shit, yeah.
They all these empty MacBooks, with all they doing is surfing the net.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's the same shit.
Yeah.
You want to go in the coffee shop and flip your shit up.
Right.
Or be in the airport and flip your shit up. You want to have your AirPods in and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know you part of the gang.
Yeah, I still have
whether that's you or not.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's all about the narrative. That's
of course. Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of the narrative, I don't watch, but I definitely watch the internet, and I seen on the gram and on other forms of social media some big shit happened on your Game of Thrones program. Yeah,
this was the
big ass fight, right?
It was a big ass fight. This was a fight that was all leading up to. This was one that, you know, they were always talked about. You know what I'm saying? The main house.
The Walkers, right? The White Walkers versus House of Starks, or something like that.
The White Walkers, the Night King.
The Night King.
Yeah, the
Third Eye
the
Blind.
Long night, winter is come. You know what I'm saying? He's the Third Eye Blind.
And then he said somebody and they got three eyes.
The Three Eye Raven. But yeah, so that was the big episode this weekend, where the big fight between the living and the dead came together to fight over the night or the life.
Okay.
And you know, for all intents and purposes, it lived mostly up to the hype.
Mostly. Hold, mostly. First, let me ask you this. It lived up to the hype mostly.
Mostly.
Were there any surprises? Because it seemed like there was a surprise.
Yeah, definitely. It was a surprise who got it cracking. Who killed the actual Night King.
Okay.
That was a surprise.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised. Okay. Not that I didn't. I mean, I couldn't say I saw it coming, but I wasn't like, "Oh shit, that's out of left field." You know what I'm saying? Because if you, in hindsight, you could see it leading up to the shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You could see all of the, you know, but you don't. When you watching it, you're not thinking about all the old foreshadowing and all that shit. Where, you know, the three-eyed raven, you know, who know all the shit, gave her the knife that she used to kill the motherfucker with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's
spoiler alert.
Well, shit, if you ain't seen it by now, you know, come on, man.
I mean, niggas know we spoil shit.
If a motherfucker is watching.
We ain't got no refrigerator.
If you watching
podcast.
The Thrones, you done seen the shit. All if you ain't, it ain't no such thing as spoiling the Thrones, because everybody that's supposed to be watching
Wednesday.
It is watching it by Sunday.
Okay.
So by Wednesday, if you ain't seen
go
the
ahead.
Shit, you ain't even interested.
All right, so go ahead.
So it's only certain kinds of shit that could kill this motherfucker. They actually don't even know what could kill this motherfucker.
This is the Night King.
Right. But they do know that Valyrian steel can kill a White Walker.
Valyrian steel is a certain type of steel, or is that
certain
a person?
Certain type of steel that was made a certain type of way from the old whatever. But it ain't a lot of it in the world left.
Limited.
It's very limited. And only rich, noble motherfuckers
you got some
it.
Paper to have it. Platinum.
Yeah, yeah, it's beyond platinum. Okay. Titanium.
It's Valyrian steel.
It's Valyrian steel.
Shit ain't in the Diamond District.
So that's the only the shit that they know could kill it. They are guesstimating that dragonglass could kill him, but I don't think anybody has anyone used dragonglass on the White Walker. Yeah, Fat Sam used dragonglass.
Okay.
So Fat Sam,
what's dragonglass?
Dragonglass is a type of material that's formed by hot ass dragon fire.
So after it singes or scorches, it breaks down, it's left glass?
It's kind of like some shit you mine, like gold. It's like inside of this mountain at, what's the name of that damn place? Dragonthorn?
I thought it was also just basically obsidian. Like something that was made from volcanic, it could be volcanic as well.
Right, but I guess the...
So it's like lava that's like melded?
Right, but then the...
But how you do that?
The myth and legend is that it was from dragon fire.
But it might not be.
But it might not.
It might be part of what the cellar.
It might just be obsidian.
Okay, gotcha.
but they call it dragon glass. You know what I'm saying? So in the land where this particular dragon family lived, there's a mountain of that shit.
Okay.
So they were able to mine some of it to go fight with.
Okay.
So they know dragon gas could fuck with them and Valyrian steel. And this, the girl who actually got the job done ended up getting the Valyrian steel dagger through, you know, a long line of crazy ass shit in the history of this particular dagger.
Okay.
Ended up the dude who with the three eyes.
Passed it off to her.
Passed it off to her because it was the knife that was they tried to kill him with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he knew some shit. And then the dude who actually kind of put all that little shit into play ended up giving it to him. And he ended
after
up,
he tried to kill him.
But he ain't tried to kill him, but he knew he had a lot to do with his the pops getting killed. He was a slimy, like a slick ass slimy dude.
Okay.
Who they say might be coming back.
Okay.
It's a theory that he might still be alive.
All right.
Even though he got killed with that same dagger.
Supposedly.
Okay. But it's a theory that, you know what I'm saying, he may have have switched bodies with a motherfucker with a Bravosi coin.
Mm.
That's the theory.
I know niggas is listening like, motherfuckers that know. Bravosi coin.
If you know, you know. I know. You know what I'm saying? The Bravosi, they got some slick shit where, you know what I'm saying, they could change faces and shit like that.
Using, they hold a coin, they could.
No. The coin just gets you in the game. That, you know what I'm saying, that you could talk to them.
You got to give them the coin?
If you got this coin, then it's like, oh, shit.
They fuck with you.
Yeah,
well, like, you just show it or you got
to? You got to give it to them. And they like, oh, shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
They have a conversation. Because
the little girl who killed the Night King, she had one, and that's how she learned to be an assassin.
Okay.
With no face.
Interesting.
So it's a theory out there that, because he gave this girl a coin on one of the episodes, but you didn't see what kind of coin. Mm-hmm. But it's a theory that he may have given her a Bravosi coin to trade a life for his life.
Oh, okay.
You know, so anyway. So that was a surprise that the Arya Stark, the girl, was able to kill the Night King.
Right.
Because everybody, you know, they, you know, it's all these other theories about, you know, the history and the prince that's promised and all that shit. And everybody was leading up to Jon Snow being
thought Jon Snow was going to be the one to put in work.
He actually, in the interviews afterwards, he was like, I did too. He thought he was going to be the one.
Until he got to page 47.
He's like, whoa, whoa.
What the fuck?
He actually didn't get shit done in this damn war. He looked kind of weak in the war. Even though it's weak, it's like, it's funny because everybody is on social media saying how certain people then was worthless in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying, the dragon, Puerto Rican princess, she didn't really do much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the dragons did hold shit down a little bit until they got tired and beat up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Jon, his dragon ran out of gas, so he was on foot.
You know what I'm saying? Damn, Jon.
So he on foot fighting, you know what I'm saying?
So his dragon just fell out, tired?
Yeah, because they was fighting the ice dragon that was the zombie dragon.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that was zombie dragon ain't don't get tired.
Okay.
Because he dead.
Oh, he's dead.
You know what I'm saying? So the other two was kind of tired. They like,
so now this, so Jon Snow wound up fighting a dragon on foot?
Not the dragon.
Okay.
He tried to fight the dragon with just screaming at him, which was crazy. That was another one.
Jon needs some new offensive plays.
You need some tools, brother.
Motherfucker!
But when Jon Dragon got tired and crash landed, he was on foot.
Right.
So, but he got his Valyrian steel.
Okay.
The Night King is right there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they tried to burn the Night King up. So she hit him with the Dracarys, which means fire.
Okay.
So she hit him with the fire. Then he came out that bitch smirking like,
it wasn't shit.
Yeah, it didn't do shit. Mm. So he was still in the game. So Jon, his little dragon crash landed. So he on the ground. So he like, all right, I'm about to go go to toe to toe with him with my Valyrian steel. He got his sword. So you thinking, okay, this it?
Yeah.
Okay, this the fight that's supposed to happen.
Right.
And then the Night King, you know, he can raise dead people and shit. Right. That's his whole army is dead people.
Okay.
So Jon trying to get to him and shit. He running. Mm-hmm. And the Night King is like,
mad.
So he done raised. He ain't even finna fuck with Jon. He's like, I ain't got time to be dealing with you, brother.
Just a crowd of dead
motherfuckers. So now Jon got to fight hundreds of dead motherfuckers he's surrounded by.
Right.
So when people say he wasn't worth shit in the fight, mm-hmm. it wasn't really that he ain't have shit to do.
He was preoccupied. Because
he was occupied like a motherfucker.
Right.
But in Aria, the girl mm-hmm. Who actually got it done, mm-hmm. she was out there, you know, she was ready. She was excited to prove that she could, you know what I'm saying, fight. Because really nobody's really seen her in battle.
Because she grew up. She's been the kid, right?
Yeah, she was a kid, but she was learning how to be an assassin.
Okay.
All her whole childhood.
Okay, on the low. Nobody knew?
Yeah, she was off in Bravos learning to be a no-face killer.
And nobody knew?
No, nobody knew where the fuck she was at.
She just been coming home and they still sleeping.
No, she didn't even
her.
Coming home because she was out in the world. She ended up coming home later. Right, but right. then, you know, she stayed home. That was the long journey home.
Okay.
But in the meantime, you learning to be a killer.
Right.
So she was excited to kind of
show that off.
Yeah, you know, get in the game and really put some of this shit
put
in use.
Put some work on you, motherfucker.
Right. But, you know, it's a lot of dead motherfuckers. You know mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So she was putting in her little work. Bomb, 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 bomb. But then, you know, they got in a situation.
Can you kill a dead person?
Yeah, yeah. You could kill them with the dragon glass. You
it has to be. But what about your Valyrian steel if you ain't got no dragon glass?
Valyrian steel, dragon glass. That's the shit that kill them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That kill them, right? Like, as soon as you hit them with it, it seems like they just.
They just shatter.
Fall the fuck out.
Gotcha.
But they got her cornered a little bit inside the joint where she almost got fucked up. But, you know, a couple of cats that was fighting kind of helped her get to the room. Boom. And then the lady of the light, the red lady, kind of gave her wings. You know what I'm saying? Let mm-hmm. her know there's, you know, you the one. So mm-hmm. she in there and the red lady's like, you know, telling her, you know, to kind of remember who the fuck you is, you know right, what I'm saying? She was right. like, I remember you. And because when she first seen her way, way back in season whatever the fuck, mm-hmm. the lady told her that she see death in her eyes, you know what I'm saying?
You a killer.
Yeah, like you have shed many eyes.
It's like Neo.
Yeah, some of them brown, some of them green, and then, you know what I'm saying? She was like, and some of them blue, which was the nod that, because the White Walkers and shit got blue eyes.
Oh, okay.
Which was the nod, like, you know what I'm saying?
Was that on the low, like, if you didn't that go over a lot of people's heads, and now I mean, you're kind of looking back like, oh, okay.
If you've been watching it, it wouldn't have went over your heads, because soon as she said the other line, when she was like, what do we say to the god of death? You already know when she first started to learn, that's what her little, the Bravosi sword master was teaching her. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you know, what do we say to the god of death? Not today. You know what I'm saying? So once she got that, she knew what time it was. She was like, all right. And that was, you know, to pause right there on the shit, it was like, that's the lesson right there. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing that gets you thinking is like, sometimes you be out here fighting the wrong motherfuckers. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
She out here
Jon Snowing and fighting all these dead motherfuckers when it's only one motherfucker you really need to be fighting. Mm.
The Night King, right?
The Night King. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because you kill him, you kill all of them. And it's, we out here, sometimes we be doing shit. I be, speak for myself, and sometimes I be out here fighting the wrong fight. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Fighting a bunch of dead motherfuckers.
Fighting a bunch of niggas over turkey sandwiches and shit. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do that.
You know what I mean? When you supposed to, you know what I mean, be out trying to get filet mignons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to catch the blue marlin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You out here fishing over the bridge for guppies.
For some trout.
And trout and bass. Mm-hmm. When you need to be out there searching for the blue marlin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of that kind of lesson in the whole shit. But, you know, she ended up going to get the shit done.
Yeah, I saw they put a face on Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Like, she must have done something spectacular because that meme was, that shit is only 2 days old. God damn.
He got usurped right quick.
Woo! They was like, Dame, let me get this.
Hold up.
This victory stance.
Yeah, man. It was cool, but you know what I'm saying? Again.
So what you say? You said it lived up to expectations. Almost. Where is it fall short?
It was the longest battle scene in TV history or whatever. It probably was the most expensive. It was
better than the Red Wedding?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was better than the Red Wedding?
Red Wedding
really?
Was pretty much a scene. This was the whole fucking show.
Oh,
from
yeah.
From start to finish.
It was
fight.
An hour-long battle.
82 minutes.
Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it was a fight. Okay. But then it was like certain parts of it for me. I can't speak for everybody because it's certain crews of people who are fans of the book and the original author,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Who were like, you know, they not really into how the storyline played out. Then you have, you know, the new jacks who come in that really don't understand what's happening. And like, it might have been too easy to kill the Night King. Like, that was an easy kill.
Right.
Like, you know, sometimes if you haven't been paying attention, some people are saying that, you know, Arya, you know what I mean? It's like she didn't have to overcome no challenges and shit, like how she just walk up on the Night King. But that was what they was talking about the whole thing, how she was able to creep up on motherfuckers. That was her whole shit.
She was unassuming.
Right. She was, you know, she was, as her teacher told her, you got to be quiet as a shadow and light as a feather. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Dog. And that's how it ended up. But for me, it was, you know what I'm saying, it was disappointing on a couple of levels, you know what I'm saying? Like in the strategy, you know, you had the Dothraki who was, you know what I'm saying, back in the day we talked about that all they like to do is fight and fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The wild, they just wild.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They were the front line. They were the first one.
They're alive though. They're not dead.
They dead now. Okay. But you know
what
I'm
saying? They were living fighting.
Yeah, they were living. They were on the living side. So they were out there on the front line. They were the first to go. And then the next brown people, the Unsullied, was right behind them. So all the brown people was outside the gate.
Oh, they got brown people on Game of Thrones.
Light brown. Two. They got a couple of light brown.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like the Dothraki, they kind of like, you know, like my man.
I don't know.
What's my man name who played Aquaman?
Oh, homie. Jason's.
He was the leader of them at one
He's
time.
He's in Game of Thrones?
He was.
Okay.
He was the leader of the Dothraki.
I never seen Aquaman. I heard it was good, though. Did you
Me
see
neither.
It?
Oh, okay. I know him from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
But I know he did play Aquaman.
Right.
So that kind of brown.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever that brown is.
Yeah.
And then the Unsullied, they kind of like a light skin, like a, what's that island off the coast of Africa? All the
Madagascar?
People, nah. They all of the people like in Boston and shit.
Oh, Cape Verdean.
They all look Cape Verdean. You know what I'm saying?
Wavy hair and shit.
I mean, they all that light, but not. It's a funny looking light.
Like a caramel?
This ain't caramel. It's like somewhere in between.
Like a burnt sienna?
Nah. It's like lighter
like
than it's lighter than peanut butter, but it's nondescript. A nondescript brown.
Damn. God.
It's darker than
it's
beige.
Shade.
It's darker than beige, but it's lighter than peanut butter.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's that, dusty.
Nah,
it's
I ain't little, saying it's dusty. It's just a
it's a tan, like a khaki.
Yeah, like a khaki.
Okay.
Yeah, like a khaki color.
All right.
So they were the first to go. Dothraki.
Khaki color killers.
The Dothraki, they were the wildest mother. Everybody was fear the Dothraki. They were the front line. So this shit started off everything quiet. They waiting right. for the signal to go and shit.
Okay.
So they standing that way. And then the old red lady come and light up their swords. So now they hype. Now they swords on fire. They got
light up all of their swords.
Oh, yeah, all at once.
Uh-huh.
So now they ready to go. They got fire. They hype.
These the fighting and fucking cats.
The fighting and fucking.
They ready to get it
they
in.
They ready to get it in.
Pawns.
They go out. So now they got the drone shot of the motherfuckers riding out with the fire.
Right.
All you see is the fire going out.
Extinguished.
Unceremoniously dispersed.
What happened?
That's it.
The dead killed them? Who killed them?
Yeah, the dead killed them.
The just dead
that,
just
that
got
was just dead.
Damn, quickly.
Quick. No, you ain't even get to see them throw a blade. Uh-huh. It was just over. Damn. Oof. They whole race. Done.
That fast.
Just like that. Mm. First 3 minutes of the show.
Typical.
And then,
ain't that
and then,
a
so, so now everybody looking like, oh shit. So the next motherfuckers in line is the Unsullied, who was the, you know what I'm saying?
Lighter
the
shade.
The Cape Verdeans.
Okay. Some more browns.
You know what I'm saying? The Cape Verdeans. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So now the Cape Verdeans is looking like, you know, they lead this Grey Worm. And, you know, he probably like the toughest motherfucker on that of me. Because
mm-hmm.
he's serious. That's all he do.
What's his name?
Grey Worm.
Gray Runner?
Gray Worm.
Okay, Gray Worm.
Yeah, so.
Is he a worm?
No, he a man.
Okay.
He just ain't got no sexual parts.
Oh, shit. His worm is grayed out.
Yeah. The whole,
shit.
The Unsullied, they take their little bits and kibbles and bits and train them just to be warriors.
That's how they not sullied.
They ain't got
no fucking kids.
And all they do is fucking, that's all they fight. They don't. They can't fucking fight. They just fight.
So they just use all
they
of
just,
that?
You know, all that energy. And fighting.
Okay.
Very disciplined.
Right.
So he like, everybody looking like, oh shit.
Because they just seen
That shit just dissipate.
That whole fire went out.
All that shit. So now he like, all right, I guess it's time to go. He put his little mask, his little helmet on, and he was, you know what I'm saying, ready for it. And then, you know, then the fight started. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was a little, and then, you know, they held him off, you know, then, you know, the whole shit went on. You could watch the rest. I ain't going to narrate the whole shit. But,
you did it, man.
But, you know what I'm saying? That was, to me, it was like, damn, all the brown people had to go. Because, okay. You know, they had to protect, like, they had to retreat. Mm-hmm. So all the Unsullied kind of had to protect the retreat. Mm-hmm. Like, man, who made this plan? Man, this plan is bad. Why they build the fire trench behind the soldiers? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you build it, you know what I'm saying? Like, they in front of the damn fire trench. Now you got to retreat to get behind the fire trench and light the bitch on fire to slow them up. So that was a little disappointing that all the brown people had to go first.
You sound disappointed.
But my man Gray Run, he was holding that shit down. He ain't die.
Oh, wow.
So he held that shit all the way down, you know what I'm saying? It was like later in the fight when you see everybody fighting and everybody had that hump in their back, like tired and shit. Mm-hmm. You see Gray Run, my, that bitch still
got that stamina.
He was still out there kicking ass.
There you go.
So that was cool. And as far as the last kill shot, like, the, you know what I'm saying, when she stabbed him, she used the technique that she had used before, mm-hmm. which was cool. I just think the particular shot that they had on it, mm-hmm. like when she changed hands with a knife on the Jordan, mm-hmm. changed hands, mm-hmm. shit. So he'll have her arm right here, so she dropped the knife to the other arm.
Caught him.
You know what I'm saying? They caught him like that. Mm-hmm. But when she did it like that, it looked kind of weak. It didn't look like a hard, you know,
like, you it know, looked like a knockout blow.
Yeah, it looked like it was a little, little weak, little tap, and then he blew up. But the other little girl, Leanna Mormont, mm-hmm. she's like a tough-ass 13-year-old mm-hmm. leader of her little tribe because, mm-hmm. you know, they ain't got many people left.
Right.
So
it's whoever's left is the leader now.
Yeah, she's the next in line. She's 13, but she hard as fuck.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? She harder than a motherfucker.
She down with Arya?
Everybody that's living is down with each other at this point. But
Because
they living. But she was always down with the North. So okay. She was always down with the Starks. And actually, the Puerto Rican princess, the dude who was in love with her but was in the friend zone, he is part of that family, but he was like he was like a pirate. He was selling shit on the side. Kind of disgraced his house.
Oh, okay.
So his daddy kicked him out the house. So he was an exile. So okay. This little girl was running that family.
Okay.
So she 13, little bitty motherfucker with, you know, strong mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
She out there on front, not in the front line, but the inside front line, behind the wall front line.
Okay. The second line.
The second line behind the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then the zombie giant came through. The giants, you know, they be kicking ass. So the zombie giant came, kicked down their little doe.
Mm-hmm.
And then she the first one standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
The zombie slapped that little ass out the way. Pow!
And killed her?
Nah, she ain't died.
He just gave her the meat.
Get out of the way.
Fuck out of here.
They started killing shit, right?
Uh-huh.
And then she, you know, she ain't having it. She like, shit, yeah. Fuck that. Yeah, so she came with her little war scream.
Right.
Ah! Then he grabbed the ass up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he pulled up, you know, looked like he was about to eat her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was able to stab his ass right in the eye with the dragon glass. But her shit, her kill shot was hard. Her shit was, ah!
Got him.
It wasn't like a little, eh. Yeah, her shit was like, yeah.
So she killed
a giant. A little bitty motherfucker killed the giant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which, you know, it's probably for the fans and shit. But, you know, everybody wanted to see her get a good death if she had to die.
I saw that. I saw something that being discussed. All right. Well, that's cool.
So, again,
okay.
It was a great episode.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It was good for the show. You know what I'm saying? People are divided on, you know, the execution of it and,
right.
You know what I'm saying, the storyline. But, you know what I mean? I was satisfied for a good Sunday night, date night with my wife.
Okay.
Throne situation, a good social media.
Your wife still in on it? She's still feeling it?
Yeah.
She was satisfied with the killings?
Yeah. I mean, it was very tense and dramatic shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? From the jump, it's like your shit. Your heart is,
shit.
You know what I'm saying? It's just following along.
Your heart beating for a certain character? Or
just the intensity of the battle. It's like it was no break. It was just like every fucking...
the whole shit.
It was like, you know, you got fighting, and then you got motherfuckers... You know what I'm saying? Trying to get away. Then you got the dragons doing their thing.
Right.
And then you like, damn, don't let the dragons die.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, and then you got the Night King trying to get to the Three-Eyed Raven.
Mm-hmm.
And you thinking the Three-Eyed Raven about to do shit, but he ain't do shit. But he went off into the Three-Eyed world and, you
stepped
know.
Stepped off. Three eyes act like he ain't see a thing.
He ain't see, but obviously he saw something.
I know you saw that shit.
It's probably going to be in the next few episodes you'll understand why he did what he did, because he was like, I'm going to be leaving now.
I'm on my business.
And then he just left. And everybody fighting to protect his ass. He just out there in another world.
What is he, a gremlin? What kind of thing?
He a human, but he in a wheelchair. Because,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Jamie Lannister pushed him out the window because he saw Jamie fucking his sister, which, you know what I'm saying, the realm frowned upon, which would let you know that, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, his sister's kids wasn't really the king's kids. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was her nephews and nieces.
Third eye.
You know what I'm saying? So they was like, you know, this little motherfucker got to go because he seen it. You know, he the only one seen it with his own eyes. Everybody else was rumors. So they pushed him on out the window. That's how he got in the wheelchair and become his journey to the three-eyed raven.
Oh, he got a third eye when he lost his legs.
When he lost his legs, he started having these dreams, and then it was a long journey of him getting from, you know, his house, which had fallen, to the original three-eyed raven,
right,
who was going to teach him how to do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and didn't learn enough. So now he's just trying to learn on the job at this point.
Okay.
So, but we don't know what the fuck he was doing. He just was out of here.
He said, I'm getting the fuck on out of here. I'm in the chair.
I'm about to. No, he was just. Problems. He had something to do. We just don't know what the fuck
he had some shit going on.
Yeah, he had some shit to do. He was like, I got to go now.
Y'all take it easy.
And then, you know, his little birds went flying out. We don't know what the fuck he was doing. But
how many episodes left?
It was three? It was six episodes? Or eight?
You still. So is there still some resolution you waiting on? Or was
there's still a lot of shit because you still got who going to get on the Iron Throne. Because Cersei is sitting on the Iron Throne now. That's the one who be fucking her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who had
Cersei it. Black, right?
No, she. No.
I don't know why.
Only two black Cersei people is the Cape Verdeans.
Shout out to Emperor Cersei on the radio in Atlanta.
DJ Emperor
Cersei. Absolutely. Shout out to that.
Cersei is white.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she white.
Oh, man. Shit. Well,
so that was good, man.
Sound good. I mean, I don't know what the fuck happened, but I like the fact that the people know. And
yeah, everybody know. I mean, and if you don't know, you know. If you don't know, it's like, you know, some people who don't watch the shit is confused, like whatever. Because you know, at this point, there ain't no real need to catch up,
right?
Because you know, you done seen the memes to the end of the story and shit. It ain't the end, but you know, you'll probably just have to want to be involved with it now. But did you catch the Avengers?
I did not. You?
Yeah.
Oh, you did the whole thing.
Yeah, I got that. It was the Stark weekend.
Did you buy, he's in the Avengers?
Well, nah, it's Tony Stark.
Oh, Stark.
And then it's the Stark family in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So on Thursday, everybody was like, all these memes talking about we need a prayer circle over all the Starks.
Hilarious. Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
You ain't even into that world.
Not really. Not to the point. I almost wanted to see it because, you know, the hype.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, if knowing that it's 3 hours long, I'm like, I'm good on it. I'll check it out at some point. But I just feel like I saw the last one. I saw Infinity War.
But this is the conclusion of that.
That's what I know, but I don't feel like I need a conclusion because I still don't realize. Fell asleep three times in Infinity War.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not a comic book Marvel. I'm not up on it. I don't know who, what kind of powers, and I didn't even know. I had to ask my son who the character was in some of the instances. But, you know what I'm saying? I guess I enjoyed it for what it was, but I know I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I was a follower of the storylines.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He was invested.
I could see how, you know, people were really invested in
the
story.
Was your son invested?
Yeah, he really invested.
How'd he feel as far as, I've heard that this is better than all of them.
Yeah, he felt like this was it.
And
like,
this was the end. This was the resolution of the trilogy.
I don't know. I don't know what the...
They left it open-ended?
I don't know. You
were there.
I heard it's the end, but I don't know what the fuck.
No, I'm saying, but you saw the movie. Did they leave it open-ended, or did it feel like it was
over? But see, all these movies, all these Marvel shits interconnect for different shits. You know what I'm saying? I think it's the end of the Avengers shit for the movies, I guess. I guess it's the end of all their contracts and shit.
Yeah, so they got to get the Expendables.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I don't really know how it's supposed to go.
Okay.
All I know is that, you know what I'm saying, this shit was a three-hour movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got back what they lost in the first one.
Yeah. My homie, Darren, he posted on Instagram. It was just interesting to see. He posted a list of all of the MCU movie releases since 2008. Mm-hmm. It's been 22 joints. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy when you see it on paper just to see like how prolific they've been and how many, you know, these are event films.
Right.
How many of them motherfuckers that they knocked out? But then also, the point of his post was one thing that I've been hearing a lot too is, you know, they ain't go to like to the obvious directors, the action guys like a Michael Bay or whatever. They using people like, you know, comedy directors. Really? James Gunn, yeah, like James Gunn, I think did the Scooby-Doo movie. He did another movie called The Super, which was kind of like a superhero movie, but it was a little different. I forget the guy who did this Endgame, but he did like a comedy movie. So like John Favreau did like Swingers.
Ryan Coogler did Black Panther.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Did Creed. He did, you know, but I'm saying, no, but I mean, but like these people don't come from like, it wasn't like they did a whole bunch of action. Like Ryan Coogler was like one of the few.
Yeah, but you talking from a, you know, $20 million, $15 million movie to $100 million shit.
Of course, that's different budget. No, but I'm saying as far as sensibility goes, he might have been the only one that was close to the obvious sensibility in the way that he did a movie like Creed where it was, you know, fight scenes and all that type of shit, whereas everybody else is kind of coming away with like funny narrative movies, but then they killed it.
But they offered it to Ava DuVernay first.
Oh, okay.
Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah, she turned it down, but.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? It seemed that they were.
I think I heard that before, yeah.
They were going outside of the box.
Yeah.
To get the directors to.
That was the point. That was what he was trying to put out there. He was saying, you know, they took a chance on the people. Like he had a whole quote. It was a, you know, I'm paraphrasing it in the Grand Post, but he had a quote that kind of spoke to the spirit of the decision making. Uh-huh. And it was just, and it laid it all out like, boom, this. And then my man Mingle, who came through, he said back in the day, you know, they were trying to shop that deal to many different studios and people really just wanted Spider-Man. They didn't even want all the other shit.
Right.
And now you look at this shit 20 years later, you know, or not even 20 years later, 11 years later, fucking 22 movies.
And
growing.
Most highest grossing movies ever. Some of them, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think this one is what? Is this the highest grossing movie?
I don't
first
know.
Week?
Did it beat? Because I heard they said it wasn't going to beat Infinity War.
I think it beat Infinity War.
It beat it? All right. Fair.
This is like $1 billion worldwide first weekend and shit. Some crazy shit like that. Yeah, so.
I think it was like $1.25 billion, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Count them up.
That's real shit.
Let's not count out that quarter.
Don't count the quarter, Bill. Yeah, that's put that on the table.
For sure.
Speaking of expectations. HBO. So I'm watching Barry. Uh-huh. I'm still sticking with Barry. I fuck with Barry. You know, I've been over here.
No doubt.
Barry supporter.
Like I said, my son is a Barry supporter. I've watched a few episodes of Barry.
This season?
I don't know what season.
Okay.
Last one, he's in acting class. And one of his victims' dad showed up to the little party or something. Or somebody was talking about, somebody was affected. One of his victims' people was on the stage talking shit.
Yeah, I think that's season one.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, season one is great. I like season one. Season two is killing me. Because some shit happened in season. Season one ends on a crazy note.
Right.
Where I don't want to fuck it up for you, but, you know, he busts his gun, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some shit, and there's some fallout from it. Well, he busts his gun, and in season two, we trying to see if there's going to be any consequence for that.
Right.
If he's going to be held accountable for that, what's going to happen? You know, because the thing is, with the whole thing about the show is him walking that tightrope between being a contract killer, you know what I mean, and trying to change his life to be an actor and kind of a little bit more fully realized, you know, not killing people, you know, something new. Mm-hmm. And but he got some bodies in his past that are, you know, they're not all the way resolved.
Right.
So we tried to see how he's gonna get away with this shit. And each episode is like spectacular stalling. Like it's going way out the way.
Drag it out, man.
Oh man, they are dragging the fuck out of this shit. This shit is killing me. It's killing me on, because some of the shit's starting to become, it's getting a little ridiculous. It's already comedy, but it's getting a little too ridiculous. It's, the thing that I like was how they strike that balance, where they'll give you some real shit and then temper it with some funny. It's been heavy on the funny, heavy on the cliffhangers, heavy on the plot twists. Like this last episode, Barry's been very reluctant to bust his gun. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know. I guess I'm bloodthirsty, but I need Barry to be Barry. I know you want to be, you know, I know you want to get off book. You're
like Tasha on Power.
Yeah, man.
I know
man.
You want to get out of the streets, but I fell in love with ghosts.
Look, man, I need you to get the job done. As long as you got some shit outstanding, when you can get that list down and it's over, once you killed everybody you need to kill, go ahead, go get a commercial audition. Do what you need to do. Right. But right now, I can't have you pull up to the kill and be like, hey, listen, I'm supposed to kill you, but I'm not going to kill you.
Because I got to study some lines tonight.
Right, or just because I'm trying to be a better person.
He telling them this?
Just so much, somewhat.
Right.
I mean, he's being real. He's like, yo, look, I'm supposed to kill you, but I'm not going to kill you. What I want you to do is I need you to go to Chicago. They in LA. I need you to move. You got some family in Chicago? I need you to go to Chicago for like a year so I don't have to kill you. Dude is like, all right, you know, whatever, whatever. Barry got a little glass. He got this face mask on and some shades on covering his face. And he's like, he's walking with the guy, like trying to get him to go ahead and start packing a suitcase. As he's moving through the house, looking, they go into this one room and it's all types of trophies and medals around for like Taekwondo.
Oh,
for like U.S. Olympic level Taekwondo. This cat is a champion.
Right.
Right, and he's chill. He's chill. He's like, all right, fair enough. You know, like he's compliant. He don't really show no signs of aggression. You know, right. Well, sure enough, out of nowhere, he hit that nigga with a roundhouse. Boom! They get into a mean ass fight. You know, they get
scuffle,
and Barry getting his ass whipped a little bit. Barry do what he needs to do, but yeah, he's taking a big L for a fucking hitman. Right. You know what I mean? This shit, you could have done this. You could have saved yourself an ass whooping.
Right.
He bleeding all out of his ski mask. You know what I mean? Like it's looking crazy. He catch him one, boom, catch him, fuck the kid's windpipe up.
Mm-hmm.
Like just collapse his windpipe. The guy's wheezing and shit, like can't breathe, and finally he falls out. Wow. Now he's looking like he's dead and shit. So Barry's like, whew, fuck. You know, and then I forget what happened. A little girl pops up. He's got a kid. Little girl pop up. She got like a kung fu gi on. She ain't playing no game. She's Arya Stark. Is it Arya Stark?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She on her Arya Stark other girl.
She's Layla Mormont.
Dog, she's like a superhero / gargoyle. She's flipping off of shit. Coming at him. Stabbed him a couple times. Oh. Motherfucker about to bleed out. She runs. She's out of there. So now she's on the loose. So we got somebody that is sick. Barry's whole shit came off his mask. She's seen him. She can ID him.
Right.
She's gone. He goes back because he got his man Fuchs, his kind of like his dispatch. His man Fuchs. He goes to the car. He's like, yo, Fuchs, we gotta go. You gotta take me to the hospital. I'm about to die. I'm bleeding out. You gotta take me to the hospital. Fuchs like, nah, don't worry about it. He's way too casual for the fact that Barry's literally bleeding out. He's like, yo, I'm about to run up in here. I'm gonna get you some stitches out of the Rite Aid. I'll be right back. Pulling to the little emergency. So I'm gonna get some corn nuts. You want some, you know, he's real casual. Barry like, my man, I'm bleeding out. I need you to hurry up. So he do a terrible job of stitching them up. Stitches pop out again. He tells him, yo, he got a daughter whose daughter's crazy. He's like, Barry, we got to kill the daughter. You know, we got to kill everybody. So Barry's like, man, I'm not doing this shit. I'm not killing her. I'm definitely not killing the kid. The kid, she's like 13, 15, something like that. I'm not killing her. I'm not going to kill the kid. I feel terrible because I was like, first time I seen everybody get on this, I'm like, Barry, you got to bust your gun. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. But anyway, so he's like, I don't want to do it. So then the girl comes back and Fuchs tries to like appeal to her. You know what I mean? Hey, little girl, you know, that type of shit. And she do some, ah, like run, jump in a tree, run through this, flips, winds up on the top of the fucking house. And is like just sitting there like on some gargoyle shit.
Crouching tiger.
Crouches there for like 2.5 hours just sitting looking at these motherfuckers. They sitting in the car, Barry half dead, Fuke scared to death. They're like, yo, what we gonna do, man? We gotta figure this shit out. What we gonna do? I forget how they get out of this situation.
But did they ever kill anybody?
So they get to the point, I forget how we got to the, somehow they wind up in another, the little girl sitting there. Barry's not gonna kill her. Fuchs is afraid. So I forget how we get to the spot to where they wind up at a grocery store. For whatever reason, they go to a grocery store. I think he's in a grocery store to get some more shit to fuck with his wound. He's in the grocery store. He had told Fuchs, he said, well, you know, the Mark is dead. The father, he's dead. I seen him go out. He's dead. So they're in the grocery store. He's in like the pharmacy aisle. He look a couple aisles over. He see homie with the windpipe standing up looking for some bandages to fix his whole shit. He's wheezing the shit. He live to the motherfucker. So the guy that wanted Barry to, see the whole thing is, this is the thing. Fuck it, we spoil shit over here. He killed this one police officer, this black woman, Janice, this black woman who was who happened to start dating his acting coach, Henry Winkler, right? They all went on like a, it went to Henry Winkler's like little beach house, not beach house, but like little farmhouse or whatever, like one of them little cabin type joints. It was Barry and his lady, what's her name? Sally. Barry and Sally, Janet, and I forget my man's name, Henry Winkler. So they out there, couples type, kick it. Barry had to kill her.
Had to retreat.
Yeah, because she's a detective, and she's starting to push it together. And, like, she's not an idiot. Like, that's the thing about this show sometimes. The tone is weird. Right. But she was never an idiot. She could be funny at times, but she was never she's not a dumb cop. She's a good police officer. Right. So she's doing police work, and she realizes through the police work, yo, you the one that did this. And then when she discovers that, he realizes he got to kill her, and he winds up killing her. So that's how it ends. He kills her, right? Shout out to Chris Lambert. He ain't really wasn't feeling the black woman getting killed at the end of the shit.
I mean,
nobody was. It felt weird. You know what I mean? Especially now that we're
another HBO killing.
Especially now that we in the we about 4 episodes in, and there still ain't been no justice for Janet. You know what I mean? Like, there's part of you that's like.
So Janet was the end of first season.
Janet was the end of first season.
So now we had no justice for Janet.
No justice for Janet. But Janet had, like, there was another cop that was like her partner that she was cool with. So he got an idea that Barry might have done it. So somehow, and I'm fucking it up a little bit, but somehow he apprehends Fuchs. Fuchs is Barry's dispatch, the guy that's always telling her who to kill. He got Fuchs like, yo, I need you to wear a wire. We got to get Barry. So, you know, the first time he tries to, Barry don't say nothing. So Fuchs is kind of going back on, you know what I mean? He don't really want to do Barry like that. That's his guy.
He ain't no snitch.
Nah, he ain't really no snitch. And Barry comes through. He calls Fuchs. He's like, yo, man, I got to talk to you. Because, you know, he's coming undone with all this shit going on. You know, Sally's his lady. She's doing a scene about how her ex-boyfriend abused her. So, like, he's tight about that. Like, he's tight about a lot of shit. You know what I mean? Because he talked about, they all got to do scenes from like very like traumatic points in their lives. So Barry wants to do a scene about when he was in the army, how, you know, he saw his first dead body and how he responded. And initially the story he tells makes him seem a lot more heroic than what really happens. And later on you find out what really happens, which is way darker and it's fucked up. So anyway, so it's a lot of that type of thing where it's like, Barry, the central theme around a lot of these people is they're still kind of reluctant to accept who they really are, or at least what their behavior puts them to be, right? So anyway, so he's obviously in strong conflict because he's trying to change his life, but he's still, you know, being called on to kill, called on to train killers, shit like that. So
Janet's partner, I forget his name, he's got Fuchs on the wire. Barry comes through. Fuchs is like, yo, don't come through. I don't want to talk to you. Lose my number. He's trying to save him. Mm-hmm. Barry's like, what are you talking about? He winds up pulling up on Fuchs, and he's like spilling his guts. He says too much. And then the partner reveals himself. Police, you're under arrest. Da, 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 da. So you're like, oh, damn, Barry, you fucked up. So this is where the cliffhanger comes out. The partner's like, yo, I need you to kill my ex-wife's current husband.
So the police need a hit.
That's cliffhanger number one.
Right.
So that's where we get to the cat with the Taekwondo belts and fucked it. That was that guy.
That guy was messing with the dude's wife.
He was dating the dude's ex-wife. Oh. I don't even know exactly why he wanted to kill him, but he just wanted to kill him. I guess maybe jealousy or whatever.
Couldn't beat him.
Right. Couldn't beat him, obviously.
Couldn't beat his ass, for sure.
Because check this out. So they're in the grocery store, and dude wheezing, you know what I mean? He's coming towards Barry, and then the officer who ordered the hit, he's like, freeze! You know, he's trying to stop the whole shit. Taekwondo hit him with a mean roundhouse. Wah, wah, wah,
wah. Hit the police with it?
Yeah, dude, it looked like that nigga got hit by a truck. He wow, killed him with the roundhouse. Hit his ass with a roundhouse, leveled him. He's dead. He's dead on the ground. Cops run in, kill homie. Bah, 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 bah. Barry somehow escapes out the back. They don't see him. Fuchs. This is why they went to the super. This is how ridiculous shit gets. The reason that they went there. Okay, here we go. Backpedaling. Barry, dog, my shit probably just as convoluted as your shit. It is what it is. Barry trying to get his stitches. You know, I told you he did a terrible job of stitching it up. So Fuchs says, fuck it. He goes and gets some like crazy glue and just squeezes that shit all into the wound. Right. He's like, yo, what's that? He's like, this is crazy glue. It's going to keep me shit. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? So somehow he fucks around, got all this crazy glue on his hands. He winds up crazy gluing his hands to the steering wheel. He can't take his hands off the steering wheel. So they take him to go, I guess they're going to go get some shit to get his hands off the shit. So his hands is on the steering wheel. Cops pull it up. He can't leave the scene.
Right.
He's still in the car. Somehow he winds up in the back. Barry sees him, and cops is from this direction. Fuchs is right here in the car, like, Barry, get in the car. Barry, get in the car. Hurry up. Cops is over there, and it cuts. So you don't know what Barry's going to do. Is Barry going to go with Fuchs?
Right.
But it's like, my man, how many times are we going to fucking,
narrowly escape.
Yeah, man. It's still enjoyable, but they stalling me. They killing me. I see it. It's creative.
Mm-hmm.
It's creative distraction, but it's still distraction.
I mean, but that's what all this shit is. It's just entertainment, man.
Yeah,
shit,
man.
If they gave it all to you in one swoop, you'd be done and there'd be nothing to watch.
Yeah, man.
You know? So they drag it out. They, you know, they give you some of the shit you want. They, you know what I'm saying? They take away some of the things, shit you think you're supposed to have. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you talk about it on social media, everybody happy.
There you go.
Word up.
Speaking of which, why don't you tell the people where you're going to be? Let's get out of here, man.
Where am I going to be? I'm going to be here, man. I'm going to be here,
mm-hmm.
you know, constructing this remix.
Okay.
I'll be on the gram,
mm-hmm.
at Mr. Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
Twitter, at Mr. Muhammad. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, all the people that, you know, fuck with me on the social medias and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And shit, until next week.
There you go. Where am I going to be? I'll be at Union Hall on the 7th. My man Nori Davis has a show out there. Nori and Nash Rose, they do a show out there. So I'm doing that on the 7th. On the 8th, I'm at Hotel Chantel. Stan is doing a pop-up show there. And then on May 17th and 18th, I'll be in Saratoga Springs at the Comedy Works out in Saratoga Springs. Tickets just went on sale, so you can get those. And next week, I'll be right here. And in the meantime, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
We are
out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.